You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
I've put together a brief study on kindness from the New Testament to help us in the way which we approach God. We are always to be looking to God to manifest His goodness, and we should be asking Him to be kind to us. Kindness is something which is desired by those who need. It's expressed to those who are in need. A dependent child is not kind towards his parents. A child can be pleasant, polite, cooperative, obedient, but not kind. Kindness is shown by those who do not need anything from the recipient. It implies goodness, it implies mercy, it implies helpfulness to someone or a group that is in need. Let's look at kindness in the New Testament. The Greek word is chrestos. Kindness is an attribute of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love is kind. It's wonderful. God, we know, is love. God, who is love, loves us. And His love towards us manifests itself in patience and kindness. God is kind. Kindness and goodness are related in the Septuagint. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, Peter wrote, "If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord," again the Greek here is chrestos, and it is being used as a synonym for the Hebrew tov in Psalm 34, verse 8. Tov means goodness or good. Psalm 34, 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Peter said, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, one of the things about God which is good is that He is kind. The Messiah Jesus said in Luke 6:35, "But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." God is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. But I have to mention that God is not kind to everyone all the time. In Romans 11, verse 22, it appears that there is a line which a person or a group can cross wherein kindness is withdrawn. Romans 11, verse 22. I mean, I'm not sharing this in any way to... I get no pleasure out of this verse. But I do think that it's important to have the full counsel of the Scriptures when we're taking a look at something which is important about God, in this case, is kindness. And Paul exhorted the people who read his letter in Romans 11, verse 22, "Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off." We have to admit that God was not kind to Herod when Herod was receiving the praise of people saying, "The voice of a God and not a man." An angel went and executed judgment upon Herod. He died a horrible death. God was not kind to Herod, but He was kind to His people who did not allow Herod to become this exalted God-like figure. Ananias and Sapphira, they were struck dead by God when they sought to dilute the integrity of the Messianic community in Acts. We can't say that God was kind to Ananias, nor to his wife. There is both kindness and severity. However, the general rule is that He is kind to ungrateful and evil men. He extends the offer of forgiveness. He encourages people to take a look at the cross and to see, my goodness, God really does love me. He gives room to people to repent. In fact, in His kindness, He leads people to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul wrote, Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Now, what people tend to feel is that it's God's kindness, seeing God's kindness, that pierces people's hearts so that they end up repenting. But really what's being said here is that God is manifesting kindness towards the person who needs to repent by leading them to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads one to repent. In fact, concerning kindness, our salvation is caught up in God's kindness. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, Paul wrote, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." When the Messiah was manifested and he went to the cross and he saved humanity, this was the kindness of God being revealed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul wrote, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in the Messiah has also forgiven you." We are to be kind to one another. After all, the Messiah was kind to us. The Messiah gave himself up for us in order that we might be forgiven. This was a great display of kindness, kind towards those who were in need. We needed forgiveness. We needed to be justified. We needed an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Well, God has demonstrated that kindness in providing that atonement. In fact, in Romans 5, verse 8, it says that God has demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Now listen, that is a demonstration of the type of love God has for us, which is both patient and kind. We are called to have hope that we will be blessed into eternity. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul describes it. He says that in the ages to come, he, that is God, might show the surpassing riches of his grace, his favor, in kindness toward us in the Messiah Jesus. Eternal blessedness is going to be one revelation of God loving us so much that he is kind to us into eternities, the ages to come. God is kind, and we are to look to him as being kind towards us. We are called to be kind, too. In Luke 6, verse 35, we did look at this verse earlier, the Messiah, Jesus, said, "Love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons, you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." We are to be kind to everybody. We are to be kind to our enemies. We are to help people out who would not help us out. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, again, Paul wrote, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God and the Messiah also has forgiven you." We are to have in us a disposition towards other people, loving them to the degree that we are kind to them. God is disposed in love to be kind to us. We are to be kind to others. Continuing in this vein, we can take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul again encourages the believers to be kind to others. Colossians 3, verse 12, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." We are to look at kindness as being something that we are to embrace. Kindness is something which we are to put on, knowing that this attribute of love is so important to the people that are around us. We are to be kind to people. Well, we've been called to be kind to others, but perhaps we feel, hey, I don't have the strength in myself to be kind to people. The Lord says that he would enable us by the Spirit. In the beginning of the enumeration of the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, verse 22, Paul wrote, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, The work of the Holy Spirit in us as we get to know God, who is kind towards us, will produce kindness in us towards others. We will be kind to them. And may I mention and stress that the Messiah, Jesus himself, is kind. In Matthew 11, verse 30, Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now the word easy is translated in krestos, which everywhere else in the New Testament has to do with kindness. For my yoke is kind, my burden is light. It's important to realize that God does not point out every single thing we do that is wrong to us. If God was to spend all of his time pointing out to us everything that we do that is wrong, we wouldn't have time for anything else. When you take a look at the narratives of the scripture, do you see God as an angry nitpicker? He is not. He is kind. He overlooks things. What? God overlooks things? If you are in the favor zone, you can believe that his love is covering a multitude of your sins. Take a look at the way in which he related to the patriarchs, to David, to Moses. Throughout the entire Bible, you will find that God is kind. We can say to God, "Lord, in your kindness, would you bless what we're doing? Would you bless what it is that we're doing? Would you bless our lives?" Now, of course, this doesn't always work. There are some things that God can't bless. I mean, the false prophet Balaam could not curse. If we can't curse what God is blessing, perhaps the reverse is so too. So although we can't necessarily effectively bless everybody and everything, we can intercede for mercy. When we are walking in faith, seeking to be cooperative with what we believe God is doing, we can look to God to manifest his kindness towards us. So I encourage you to pray and to ask God to be kind to you in your life at this time. He desires to be kind. He is kind. He will be kind to you, and it will be expressed in favor. Recognize that you're not going to get everything right in your attitude or in your activities. You need his kindness. I need his kindness. You will need his help in decision-making. You will need his help in faithfulness. You will need his help in all manner of things in relationships. God will help you because God is kind. Let's consider that. Pray that God's kindness would be upon you during this time. After all, he is kind. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the scripture says, "Love is kind." Let's embrace that reality, and let us be kind to others. Kindness is often expressed in mercy. One of the most powerful narratives in the Bible of someone showing loyalty, love, and mercy is the story about David showing mercy to Jonathan's child, Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, for the sake of David's love for Jonathan, David desired to show mercy to someone left of the house of Saul. It turns out in verse 2 that there is a servant named Ziba, and this person says, "Yes, there is a son of Jonathan who is left. However, he is crippled in both feet." And the king said to him in verse 4, "Where is he?" And Ziba gives the king where it is that Mephibosheth lives, and David sends for him and brings him into his court. Now Mephibosheth, he felt like, "I am in trouble." Mephibosheth, in verse 6, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he said, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you." Now, the Hebrew is chesed, and it's translated not in the word chrestos, but a different word that has to do with mercy. It says, "I will surely," but nevertheless, this is a demonstration of kindness. In this case, it is kindness towards someone who expected rejection, revenge, wrath. But David did not have that in store for Mephibosheth, because Mephibosheth was loved for the sake of his father Jonathan, and David wanted to honor Saul. Saul had a son, his name was Jonathan. Jonathan was David's covenant partner. Jonathan had a son. Saul and Jonathan are dead. Mephibosheth is alive. Mephibosheth comes into David's court. Mephibosheth knows my grandfather was trying to kill David. What's going to happen to me? David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul." He's restoring Mephibosheth's fortune. "And you shall eat at my table regularly, which is a matter of great honor." Again, Mephibosheth prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Which is how he saw himself. He said, "I am as good as dead here." David paid no attention to Mephibosheth's analysis of who it is that Mephibosheth himself was. David says, "You don't understand. I loved your father, and I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to show you kindness." Every one of us should be looking to God for demonstrations of kindness that go beyond the pale. It is God's kindness towards us in the Messiah Jesus that lifts us up to a place of royalty, to sharing in the banquet at the king's table every day, to have that which was taken from us through the fall or the work of the adversary, to have that restored to us. This is kindness. Looking to ourselves, we may say, "Well, we don't deserve it." Kindness doesn't have anything to do with deserving something. Kindness has to do with the demonstration of goodness and mercy and helpfulness. Kindness comes from love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. God is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Luke 6, 35, for he himself, your father, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Listen, we are those who believe in the Messiah Jesus. We are in the zone of God's favor. Take heart, expect God's kindness to you in this life, and expect that God will be demonstrating his kindness to you in all the succeeding ages. As long as eternity lasts, God will demonstrate his kindness to you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Love and War, which was written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David Harwood and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David Harwood is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the book God's True Love. Copies of David's book can be purchased on loveofgodproject.org and on Amazon. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. If you would like more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, or God's True Love, you can find it on RestorationFellowshipNY.com and LoveofGodProject.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, and Love and War DH. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean. God willing, a new episode of Love and War will be released next week.